Marisayan. Marisayan means literally the appearance to the eye. And what we're talking about is a principle in halacha which says that I have to avoid not only wrongdoing, but I have to avoid the appearance of wrongdoing. And the Gemara gives you a couple of different sources for this. One source is V'yisem Nikiyim Hashem Yisrael, in which we are told you have to remain innocent in the eyes of God in Israel, so therefore you can't do anything that is going to lead someone to think you are guilty. That's number one. So a classic application of that is that the Jews would give a half shekel donation to the Mishkan. It would go into a room called a Lishka, and the Kohanim would go in a few times a year to collect the shkalim from this room. And the fear is that the Kohanim will be suspected of taking money for themselves. And so they were required to go in wearing clothing that didn't have any hems and had no pockets, and they couldn't wear shoes, lest people think that they had taken money out. You have to remain above suspicion. There's a second obligation in addition to that, which says that you shall also, you have to find favor and a good reputation in the eyes of other people. And that is understood to be an active obligation, in addition to remaining above suspicion, avoiding any sort of misunderstanding. That's a pasuk in Mishlei, I believe. No. So the pasuk says you have to try to actively find favor in the eyes of others. I'll play up the volume, but the people around at the other tables are going to complain. You have an active obligation to try to find favor in the eyes of others, meaning not just don't do things that people can misunderstand, but do things that will give you a good reputation. So you have both issues. So what this Gemara is going to deal with is concern for Maris Ayin, concern for appearances, specifically regarding Melacha, acts done on Shabbos or Yom Tov that people can misunderstand. So as I said before, this is really a Gemara issue. So I'm going to be reading out of the Gemara. Hopefully, as some of the regulars make it, they'll be able to share Gemaras with you. But otherwise, try to listen up, and I'm going to do the best I can to be audible. Okay? Okay. So we're learning from a Mishnah on Daf Tes in Maseches Beitza. And the Mishnah teaches us a law regarding ladders, chutes and ladders, or in this case, nests and ladders. And the idea is this. They used to raise birds that they would then, from time to time, shecht and use. They would use them for their meals. The birds' nests were kept way up high in something called a shovach. A shovach is essentially a dovecot. It's a coop that's kept up in the air. And the way it works is that you have a ladder, and it's propped up on a dovecot, and you can move it from one to the next in order to get the birds that are inside. So there's a debate regarding moving the ladder from one dovecot to another on Yom Tov. Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Molichin Es
Hasula.
That's what we're getting. So Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Molichin Es Hasula Mishovach L'Shovach. Beis Shammai says, you don't move a ladder from one dovecot to another, even though what you want to do is innocent. You just want to get birds to sheft. But you are allowed to move it from one window to another within a single dovecot. But you're not allowed, Beis Shammai says, the school of Shammai says, you're not allowed to move it from one dovecot to another. What's the concern? So the concern, as we'll see in the Gemara, is that maybe people will think you're moving the ladder in order to get to a spot on your roof that you would like to fix. The concern is you're fixing your roof on Yom Tov. That's what people are going to think. So that's why they won't allow it. Minor movement from one window to another, everybody can see that you're just getting a bird. Moving it from one dovecot to another is another lead. You follow? That's Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Matirin. Thank you. Beis Hillel permits. Beis Hillel says, no, it's fine. I see how this thing shut down. We'll give it one more shot. Otherwise, I don't mind not being videoed. So Beis Hillel Matirin. Beis Hillel permits. The school of Hillel says, you're allowed to do this. I am not concerned. So the Gemara on this is going to have to ask two fundamental questions. And for those who have the sheet, these are the questions at the top of your sheet. Normally this year is geared towards Hebrew speakers, but I'll translate as we go along. The Gemara has to address two questions. Question number one, Ha'im yesh kan inyan shel maris hayin? Meaning, is there really a concern that someone might misunderstand? That's question number one. And maybe the reason why Beis Hillel permits is because he says there's no concern at all. Second possible question. Even if there is an issue of Maris Ayin, maybe it will only apply if you are in the public domain. But if you're on your own property, where no one naturally sees in, maybe that's not as much of a concern. So that's a second issue. You follow? We have to deal with both of those questions. And it's going to have practical ramifications for things that we do. One practical case to whet your appetite came up a few decades ago when they invented Harif Creamer. So you would go to a restaurant somewhere and you'd have a nice meat meal and then you would have coffee and they would put in Harif Creamer and to everybody in the world it looks like you had milk in your coffee. Do you have to worry about Maris Ayin? Now today, Harif Creamer is so commonplace that no one will misunderstand. But these issues come up in different ways. Harif cheese on a cheeseburger. Do people assume that it's cheese? Do people realize that it's not going to be cheese? So it comes up. What am I allowed to do or not allowed to do? That's what we're going to have to discuss with, again, attention to the second question. Not only the question of is there a Maris Ayin issue, but also the second question, which is if there's a Maris Ayin issue in public, like in the restaurant, what if I'm in my own house? Do I still have to worry about Maris Ayin? You follow? Okay. So the Gemara takes us into this discussion, and it's going to present two different ways to look at it. Amar Rav Chanan bar Ami. Rav Chanan bar Ami says, Machlokes b'rishus harabim. He says the debate between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is specifically when you're in the public place. De Beis Shammai savri haroa omer la'diach gago hutzarich. Beis Shammai says, yeah, an onlooker is going to think that you are lining your roof and you're doing something wrong. You're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. Beis Hillel savri shokho mochiach alav. And Beis Hillel disagrees and says, no, everyone sees there's a dovecot there. There's no issue. So in other words, the disagreement between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is fundamentally whether Maris Ayin is an issue here at all. Beis Hillel says it's obvious what you're doing here. You're doing you're getting births, which is mutter, which is permitted. Beis Shammai says, no, what you're doing here is not obvious to people, and you do have to be wary. Aval, the Gemara continues, however, Birshus Hayachid, if you're in a private domain, Divrei HaKol mutter. Everybody will agree it is 100% allowed. Meaning, that teaches me another lesson. Even though Beit Shammai is worried in a public domain, they won't extend their concern to a private domain. Right? So take a look at your chart on the sheet that I gave out, where it says, Beitza Tesamet Aleph, right? The first column there, if you're working right to left, it's the first column of Cains and Lows, yeses and noes. So Beis Hillel answers the first question. We're in the upper right quadrant of the chart. Beis Hillel says there's no Maris Ayin, and therefore he doesn't address the question of if there was Maris Ayin in public, would I have to worry in private? Beit Shammai, Beis Shin, says, yes, there's Maris Ayin here in public. No, you don't need to worry in private. Clear? Okay. The Gemara now is going to have to continue, though, and say not so fast, because there's another Gemara that they're going to quote here. There's a separate discussion on Shabbos. I am walking on Shabbos, and suddenly there's a downpour. Rain everywhere. I get soaked. I get home. I take off my stuff that's soaking wet, and I want to hang it up to dry. If I hang it on my clothesline, where I usually put stuff that I've washed, what might people think? That's Maris Ayin. They're going to think I did laundry on Shabbos. By the way, I did not explain this in the beginning, but there are two possible concerns out of Maris Ayin. One concern is people will think that I did something wrong. They're going to think Torchina is a sinner. What's the other possibility?
You have a permission not to do it.
Right. Sorry?
You're allowed to do it.
Right. They'll think the they say putting out the laundry on Shabbos might lead people to think you're allowed to do laundry on Shabbos. That's our fear. Beis Shammai says, so, well, we'll see. But in the Gemara, in Shabbos, that's the discussion. So now take a look in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, Eni, is that really true? Is it really true that even if it's a problem in public, it's permissible in private? Like we said, Beis Shammai says. The Ha'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. But Rav Yehuda said, quoting Rav, Ha'makom sha'asu chachamim b'pnei maris ha'ayin, afilu b'chadre chadarim asur. Whenever the sages said something is prohibited because of maris ayin, because of appearances, it's prohibited even in private. Even literally in a room within rooms. If you can't do it in public, you can't do it anywhere. What's the logic? One argument would be because you don't know who's watching. You don't know who might see. What's the second argument that you could give? And therefore? Good. Michael picks up both possibilities. Possibility number one is you don't know who's watching. Possibility number two is from doing it in private, you might come to do it in public. You won't take it as seriously. That distinction between those two considerations is going to be the linchpin of this year. So you got to remember that. I'll come back to it anyway, but you got to hang on to that issue. Clear so far? Okay. So our problem is that Rob says, if you can't do it in public, you can't do it in private either. Now, parenthetically, as Tosfos notes, Rav, who says you're not allowed, is a Tana or an Amora? He's from the Mishnah's time or the Gemara's time? Hello? What? He's an Amora. If I have BL, you have BL. Rav is an Amora. He's from the time of the Gemara. So why couldn't I answer and say, well, that's not a problem? Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai said what they said because they are Tanaim. They're authorities of the Mishnah. They don't have to answer to Rav. Who's Rav to them? But Tosfos explains, you can't do that. Tosfos Beha Amar. He says, Abba Gav de Rav Haya Amora. Even though Rav was an Amora, and therefore later than Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, Mikamakom Paruch Shapir. The question that they ask is still a good question in the Gemara. Why? Kavan de Rav Gadol Haya Bedoro. Because Rav was the giant of his generation. The Rosh Yeshiva Eli Yisrael. He was the leader for all Israel. Shmuel, aside from Shmuel, who was his sparring partner throughout Shas. So he says, Ein Svarad Rav Chanan Paligalei, Rav Chanan, who we haven't discussed in depth, but the one who presented this as the view of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, would not be disagreeing with Rav. He would not teach you Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel's position in such a way that he would put them in opposition to Rav. That's a given. Shai, we need to make room for you at the table. Come on around. Run. You can be on camera with me. We have Rav saying, don't distinguish in public and private, but you're telling me that Beis Shammai does distinguish between public and private. And we assume right now Beis Hillel as well, although we haven't seen that explicitly in the Gemara. Right? You could argue that Beis Hillel makes the distinction that Rav does. That does not make the distinction, in other words. You could argue that Beis Hillel says, if Maris Ayin is a problem in public, it's also a problem in private. He just doesn't say that here because he doesn't believe it's a problem in public. Beis Hillel could be consistent, but the Gemara doesn't go that route. But that's our problem. So the Gemara answers, we are now 7 lines up from the bottom end of the line, 8 lines up from the bottom. Tanoihi. The answer is, you're right, but it's actually a machlokes tanoim. This is a debate among the tanoim as to the question of whether I go from public to private. Whether I say that because it's a problem in public, it's also a problem in private. That was a tongue twister. Or not. Watch this. They pull in the Gemara about the wet clothing. Disanya, because here's the brisa from Shabbos. Shotchan bechama avalo k'neged ha'am. The Tanakama, the first view in the Gemara in Shabbos, says, if I come home and I get caught in a rainstorm, so I spread out my clothing in the sun to dry, but not where people can see it. In other words, it's a problem in public, it's not a problem in private, like we said for Beis Shammai. That's the Tanakama's view. If you're working with the table, that's where it says, Tav Kuf, Tanakama. However, Rav Elazar Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Osrin. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon prohibit even in private. So I'll tell you that Rabbi Hanan's position, quoting Rav, was consistent with Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. So what that means is, within this view of the overall issue of Maris Ayin, we have, number one, Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel wasn't worried about Maris Ayin in the case of the latter in the Shovach, and we don't know what he would say regarding the wet clothing. Number two, you have Beit Shammai on the Shovach, on the Dovecot, along with the Tanakama, the first view on the wet clothing, who said it's a problem in public, but it's okay in private. And then you have a third view, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who say, us are down the line. Problem in public, problem in private, and we don't know yet which of Michael's two reasons is the reason for saying that. Whether it's because we're afraid that people are going to see you in private, or whether it's because we're afraid that you're going to come to do it in public. Either of those possibilities still pertains. So far, so good? Okay. Now the Gemara presents a second way to look at this issue. That was the first way. Now we'll take the second way. We are the Ika de Amri, seven lines up from the bottom. Ika de Amri, alternatively, Amar Rav Hanan bar Ami, Rav Hanan bar Ami said, Machlokes Birishus Hayakid. The debate meaning in our Mishnah about the dovecot, was actually a debate in private. That debate was talking about in a private domain, not in a public domain. That was the debate, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. The Beis Shammai is Lehudu Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Beis Shammai agrees with Rav's position. Beis Shammai says, if it's usher in public, it's usher in private, down the line. You can't do the dovecot publicly or privately. Beis Hillel, less Lehudu Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. And Beis Hillel does not agree. Beis Hillel says, usher in public, us prohibited in public, mutter allowed in private. That's the way to read it. Avol Bershus HaRavim Divrei HaKol Asur. But everybody says you can't do the dovecot if you're in the public domain. So to explain this, look at the table on your sheet, please. We're now in the lower right quadrant on the table. I just like saying the word quadrant. In terms of the question of, is there Maris Ayin here? Right? So Beis Hillel says, yes, you bet. Is that in Cain, Haim Zeshav, Gam Ken Rosh HaYachid, is that relevant in a private domain too? The answer is low. Beis Hillel says no. Mutter. Beis Shammai on the other end says, yes, there's a Maris Ayin concern, and yes, it's going to apply private and public alike, like Rav said. So the Gemara then says, well, wait a minute, you know what you've done? You've done one of the cardinal sins of learning Gemara. You took Rav, and you had him agree with Beit Shammai. No one wants to agree with Beit Shammai. We don't follow Beit Shammai, unless you want to get the reputation of being what's called a Shamuti. Right? Like Rabbi Eliezer gets the reputation as a Shamuti. He follows Beit Shammai. You don't want to follow Beit Shammai, but that's what we've done. We've now declared that Beit Shammai says, if it's usher in public, it's usher in private, and Rav is marching in lockstep with him. So he says, Lema Rav Damar ki Beit Shammai. Does that mean that Rav agrees with Beit Shammai? Is that true? So he says, no, you don't have to say that. Again, we're going to reference that Gemara about the wet clothing. Tanoihi, the answer is it's a debate among the Tanoim as follows. Disanya, here's the brisa. Shotchan bechama avolo kineged ha'am. Regarding the wet clothing, the Tanakama said, you spread them out in the sun, but not where people can see. I distinguish public and private. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Osun, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon did not distinguish between public and private. So Rav is going to say to you, if you take a look at Rashi, he actually spells it out. You see Tanoi Hi, about eight lines up in Rashi from the bottom. Kolomar, meaning, Amar Lach Rav Hanan, Rav Hanan, who was the one who set this whole thing up and explained the positions of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So Rav Hanan will say to you, Badai Rav Sabar de Beis Hillel Afilu Barushus HaRabim Sharu. He says, Rav will say that Beis Hillel permits, even in a public domain, the way that we first took our Mishnah, the version 1 approach to our Mishnah. When Beis Hillel says mutter for the Shovach, for the Dovecot, he means mutter down the line. Upali Galai, and he disagrees with me. Banad de Amri ki Aitana, but I'm following this other view from the wet clothing. Damar Shotchan Bechama, who said you can spread out in the sun, son to Wesley, to Rob, and who doesn't have the concerns that Rob has, or the way to look at it that Rob says that has that is not worried. So again, look at the table. If you look at the case of the wet clothing, you have the Tanakhama saying that there is a Marisayan problem, but not in private, right? And he says, that's the way I understand Beis Hillel. That's the way I take Beis Hillel's view also. There's a problem in public with a davka, but not in private. And then Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon side like what Beit Shammai said, that it applies in both places. And as far as Rav, he's not doing it because of Beit Shammai. He's doing it because he reads our Mishnah entirely differently. The upshot... he's siding with Beit Shammai against Beis Hillel. He would be against Beis Hillel.
On one point.
Yeah, you can't do that.
So you shouldn't sign with somebody who has merit? You should be because he's a loser?
No, but you can't posture like him. You can agree with him in philosophy, but not in practice. That's the idea. Okay. All of this is build up. That's the Gemara. Now everyone's on the same playing field because now we're on the papers instead of in the Gemaras. We're looking at a third Maris Ayin discussion. Thank you so much. This is a case that I never understood until I owned a home. You have to be worried about a home in order to grasp what's going on in this case. The following is going on. You have a house. It's raining. Remember that their roofs were flat roofs that they used as a surface on which to work. The roof has a gutter, a drain pipe. The drain pipe gets blocked. What happens to the water now? Backs up on the roof. What's going to happen eventually? What does water always do? It will, oh right, it's always going to find a way. So what that's going to mean is your drain being blocked, your gutter being blocked, is going to damage your house. You're frantic. It's Shabbos. I'm not allowed to fix this. What can I do? So you go to the rabbi and say, listen, this is what I want to do to solve the problem. The blockage, I can see it. It's at the bottom. I want to take the back of my foot and just kind of crush what's there, and that will make enough room that the water can now make it down the drain. It is what we call kila achar yad. It's an unusual way of doing it, and therefore it's only prohibited rabbinically. And I'm preventing a great loss. Will you allow me, Rabbi, to violate Shabbos rabbinically in a way that will hopefully prevent a great loss? That's the goal. So take a look at the Gemara in Ksuvos, which deals with this. Tanya, quoting a Braisa, contemporary to the Mishnah. Nachum ish galya omer. Sinor sha'alu bo kaskisin. If you have a pipe that has splinters develop in it, all sorts of material, plant material. Mimachan biraglo bitsina bishavas, beino choshesh. You are allowed to crush it in private so that nobody can see. You're allowed to crush it with your foot and not worry. You don't have to worry about people watching you. Because you did it in private, no Marisayan problem. My time of why? Why is this allowed? Mitakin kila achar yadu, because you're fixing it in an unusual way. And because there's potential loss, there's no rabbinic decree against doing this. You follow? That's the idea. So, we're not concerned about people seeing because you're doing it where they can't see you. We are distinguishing between public and private. That is consistent with which view in our chart? If you take the first view, then it's consistent with Beis Shammai. If you take the first read of our Mishnah. If you take the second read of our Mishnah, it's consistent with Beis Hillel. So watch now what happens in Tosfos. But what we're going to ask, our fundamental question is this. According to Rav, who said that the answer is if you can't do it in public, you can't do it in private, how is he going to accept the ruling as far as the gutter is concerned? That's our question. And in the back of our mind, remember the question I asked in the beginning. Is he going to
say that you're, you don't necessarily see it in other cases.
Ah, there's an issue of potential loss, true. On the other hand, the act that I'm doing is actually a prohibited act, which wasn't true in the other cases. So keep both factors in mind. You're on the right track. Tosfos asks the question of how is Rav going to deal with this fact that you're saying it's okay in private? Base, source base. Memachan beraglo b'tzina b'shabes. Tosfos asks, V'hada Omar, kol makom sh'asru chachamim mipnei maris ha'ayin afilu b'chadrei chadarim asur. When they said that whenever something is prohibited because of appearances, it's prohibited even b'chadrei chadarim, even in private. That is specifically if you're talking about a biblical prohibition. Like spreading it out in the sun, but not doing that where other people can see. Because if people see, they're going to think you laundered them on Shabbos. But in our case of the gutter, all they'll see is that you're doing something in an unusual way that's only rabbinically prohibited. In other words, what is Tosfos giving as the explanation for why you would permit the gutter in private, but you won't permit the laundry in private? Why? You tell me why?
Because you use other devices to do that. There's the other case. In the case here, this is the Klapiyas, the Wisdom of Tosfos. It's a rabbinic thing. So there the rabbis didn't make a prohibition.
Good. Was that what you going to say also? You can't hear what he said. So you tell me what you were going to say. Yeah. Right. So. So the way Tosis is playing it, it's very similar to what's being said here. The way Tosis is playing it is when the rabbi said Maris Ayin is prohibited, remember that it's a rabbinic, fundamentally we view it as rabbinic. Despite the psukim that I quoted earlier, we view Maris Ayin as a rabbinic concern. They only made the concern where someone would think that you're violating biblical law. Where the act that they think you're doing is violating rabbinic law, Maris Ayin is not going to be a concern if you are in private. That's the idea that's being expressed here. If it's rabbinic and it's in private, then it's okay, I don't need to worry about what people think. Now remember, we said there were two reasons for Maris Ayin. One reason was they're going to think it's allowed, so I guess that's less of a concern if the act is only rabbinically prohibited anyway. The other concern is they're going to think I'm a bad guy. And once again, I guess we're not worried they're going to think I violate their Rabbanans. I don't know, but that's Tosfos' approach. Similarly, take a look at source Gimel. Tosfos says the same thing regarding a Gemara in Moed Katan. It's talking about cutting boards during Chol HaMoed, if I remember correctly, for a casket, for a coffin. So he says, but also Bifar Hesio, you're not allowed to cut the wood in public. V'yesh li tein tam, and there's a reason, you can give a reason for this. Etc. This isn't like where we said for the laundry that wherever they prohibit it in public, it's also usher in private. It's more like the Gemara in Ksuvos with the pipe. Sinur Shalu Bokaskasin, the pipe that has the blockage in it, because making the casket on Chol HaMoed is a derabanan. So again, less concern for a derabanan. That's Tosfos' position. Now, yeah. to. So therefore, they allow you to do that. Abo Basar Behema, but if you're using beef, Yesh Laniach Ezra Cholam Shkeitim, you have to put nuts out there next to the milk. Mishum Maris Ha'ayin, because of appearances. By putting out the nuts, you're signaling to people, this is nut milk, this isn't milk milk. Facility you're talking Irish and bagels on it, right? And maybe people aren't going to know, or they don't know whether you know. Also, now we get into a whole other field of questions. And is it kosher enough? And all the other things that go with it. I think it's better to go into the completely trade place. I would 100% agree. Personal feeling. I'm not posking it for anybody, but I think that's reasonable.
What's the deal with milk bread in different shapes? Milk bread is
a separate ephir. People normally use bread with their meat meals. And the fear is if you make dairy bread, you might come to use it with an ephir. Not a Marisite discussion. Separate issue. Source above, the last source on the sheets. The Dover Shane Sovereign Shahu Usur. The Aini Omer Kane. I'm sorry, I should have started with the words the Aini Omer Kane. Including the first few words was a mistake. The Aini Omer Kane. He says, I disagree with that which preceded the point that he's making here. Elahanu lo Shaychi b'dirav klal. Dirav hachi kamar. Dechol Dover Shahu Mutter. He says, if you're dealing with something that is entirely permitted, your action you're about to do is mutter. You're going to buy a coffee. You're going to use the washroom. You're going to hang up clothing that got wet on Shabbos. What you're doing is fundamentally a permissible act. The only reason to prohibit it is misunderstanding from other people. So he says, then, ain l'chalek bo bein rishus ha'yachad rishus ha'rabin, then don't distinguish between private and public domains. Why? Shem atamatir lo bein rishus ha'yachad is if you're going to permit it in private. Abu Yasa came rishus ha'rabin. He's going to come to do it in public. Why? Came in shadavar mutter. Because it's fundamentally a permissible activity. You think, what am I doing wrong? It's all fine. The Yomar, and he's going to say, ain kan roim. Nobody sees me anyway. It's all fine. And there's also the concern that you might be seen even in private. But he says, if the act that you are performing is fundamentally a mutter act and the only fear is misunderstanding, then we're going to prohibit it public and private. Because otherwise, if I allow you to do it in private, you're going to do it in public because you know there's nothing really wrong with what I'm doing. That applies to the case of the laundry. That applies to the case of the show, of the shovach, of the dove cut as well. Aval, but he continues. usual way, but it's an act of fixing on Yom Tov or on Shabbos. Ella did not come say to look God's Rabbanan. They only said we won't prohibit it intermittently because, after all, you have a stand to lose if you can't do it. Hilkach, therefore, Kevan Da'asiri, since it is prohibited, Lo Ratzu Chachamim Lahatziran, Ella Betzina. Since, fundamentally, it is prohibited, meaning the act that you're doing is an usur act, fixing a gutter, making a casket, it's an usur, it's a prohibited activity, Lo Ratzu Chachamim Lahatziran, Ella Betzina. They only permitted it in private. And you can't say we won't permit it at all, even in private. Because you can't do that. Then you won't be able to make the casket. You won't be able to fix the drain. And you do not need to be concerned that if you permit it in private, he's going to come to do it in public. Why? It's psychology. Since the act is fundamentally prohibited, Yishmalacha. For this, the Rama is following the position of the Ran, and that's why he's going to allow you. No, wait a minute. Is he?
We can solve the Ran.
Yeah, but it won't work. It's not true. The Rama is not following the Ran. Because what is the Rama worried that you're doing? What is it that you're doing? You're having almond milk with poultry, right?
Yeah.
Almond milk and poultry is fundamentally mutter. Stricter with it, even in public and even in private.
Hold on, but what's the issue of making the cast?
You're Rabbanan.
For a minute.
Yeah.
So eating meat and milk is also.
But you're not really eating meat and milk. Poultry and milk. The casket, what you're doing really is us.
Right. Yeah, but the milk is not milk.
The Ran, the Rama is a third view. We now have a third view, which we don't have a rationale for right now. We have the position of Tosfos. Says, where it's asur midirabbanan, where it's rabbinically prohibited, so we'll let you do it in private, just not in public, right? If it's rabbinically prohibited, we'll let you do it in private, just not in public.
The law is consistent. The law says, since the act you're doing is not asur, it's not milk. It should make a difference.
Public or private, it should be asur in both. Usher in bold, and he didn't say that. He said mutter in bold. The Rama is a third view. We have to figure out where he came from, which we're not going to do tonight. I didn't think about that until he got here.
Because you have to say that Mark's iron part of it is enough logic to understand.
No, he has a third view. There is a marshal on this. I just have to look it up. I remember there's a marshal on this. Laser.
Why is the pipe?
It's not Rishus HaYachid, it said Bixina. He has to do it in private. It's not Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabbit. When no one is there, maybe he sort of has, you know, he stands in front of it so that nobody can see. Yeah. Somehow it has to be obscured from view. So, again, make sure that we're somewhat clear here. I'm not going to go over the entire Gemara from Daf Tes with the two different views that led us into this discussion. But we had the case of the Shovach, we had the case of the Dovecot. That was case number one, in which we had two views. One, well, we had three views. legally allowed, if it's a legal activity, then you can't do it anywhere. You're worse off. If the act is a prohibited act that we are now giving you license to do, special license, then we'll allow you to do it in private because we're not afraid that you're going to come to do it in public. Follow? Those are the different views. Rabbi. That's his heading. But the Ramah is giving us the most lenient